Thank you so much, choir and orchestra. You have done a fantastic job. Brother Lee, thank you so much for leading us to the throne of grace with this outstanding time of worship. And now I hope you're ready for the preaching of God's Word. I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And there is a misprint in the bulletin. It's my fault. I gave the wrong verse number to my secretary, so it's verse 11, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, not verse 1. And I want you to keep your Bible open there, as we'll be coming there very shortly to talk about the subject of growing. And at the dawn of this new year, I hope that every one of us wants to be growing in Christ's likeness. It's a wonderful opportunity to make a fresh start, to make a new beginning in the area of discipleship. And today I'm beginning a book study based on Chad Hood's book, Go Disciple, Be One, Make One. And we're making these books available to you so you can follow along. If you'd like one, they're only $8. All you have to do is call our church office, 770-253-0797, and you can get your own copy of Go Disciple, Make One, Be One. And I believe that it will be a great way for you to start the new year. And let me tell you something about Chad Hood. Chad Hood is the associate pastor of the Bayleaf Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, from where our own Trey Pate, our youth minister, came to us from. And when Trey was new here on our staff just a few months ago, he brought this book into my office and said this was going to be his strategy in discipling our young people. And so it took me a few weeks, but I started reading the book, and I noticed at the very outset, in the beginning, how Chad Hood said that this is not an age-specific book. This is a book of discipleship regardless of what your age is. And so if you're not already on that journey, or if you're wanting to intensify your journey, or if you're wanting to do, as Chad Hood said in this book, and I quote, get back to the basics and study the discipline of following the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the study for you. And I hope that you'll be here every Sunday that you possibly can. It is a radical redirection of our spiritual life, and some of us so desperately do need that. A radical redirection of our spiritual life and a new challenge to grow in your walk with Christ. You know, we Christians need to know what we believe and why we believe. And then we need to be able to share that with other people so that they will come and join us. Many of us are concerned about the proliferation of Islam and ISIS in particular. They seem to have no problem at all generating interest in their godless movements. And it makes me scratch my head and wonder, well, what's wrong with us as believers? We should be growing exponentially because we have the truth. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're suffering under the false notion that if they just commit jihad and follow their lists of do's and don'ts and their book of false prophecy, the Quran, that they will be in heaven. Well, friend, that's just false. We've got the truth. And we need to be growing, not only personally, but growing as believers, growing as a church, so that people will know the life-giving truth that only comes from Jesus and His holy, inspired Word. This last Tuesday, I was in our local Kiwanis meeting, and the meeting was over, and I was staying around for a board meeting, and one of our fellow board members, a member of another church and another denomination, took me aside and asked me a question. He said, Jimmy, can you tell me why it's so hard for us in his church to get people to come to Sunday school? And I answered real quickly. I said, it's because we have devalued Sunday school. And it's not what God wants it to be for us. And the definition of Sunday school that I've gone by ever since I've been here is a definition that probably challenges many of us, because many of us are following the false notion that Sunday school is just an organization, or that Sunday school is an educational entity. Well, it's much more than that. Here's my definition of Sunday school. Sunday school is our strategic strategy. Stop right there. People want to know what the strategy at First Baptist Church Noonan is. It's Sunday school, plain and simple. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. Our purpose statement, our mission statement, is something that we've been talking about quite a bit over the past year or so, and that's come, connect, grow, and go. I mean, we're inviting people to come into the worship service and be introduced to the Christ that we have worshiped today. But not only that, once they've come, we want them to connect with the Lord God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't want that connection to stop there. We want the connection to go on to be with God's people, so that they'll not only connect by faith with God, but that they will connect with God's people. How do they do that? Through our Sunday school, through our small group Bible studies. And then once they do that, we want them to grow. And that's the whole point of the message today, so that they can be engaged in the activity of the Great Commission, which is to go. Come, connect, grow, and go. And I hope that you will start using this mission statement and using the strategy to fulfill it, which is our Sunday school. Sunday school, here's the definition of Sunday school. Sunday school is a foundational strategy for the church to lead people to faith in Christ and to develop Great Commission Christians in Bible studies that engage people to do five things: to evangelize, to disciple, to worship, to minister, and to fellowship. That's what our strategy is here at First Baptist Church. And I pray that you will make the commitment here at the dawn of this new year to be involved in our strategy, so that we can be effective in inviting people of our region to come, connect, grow, and go. You see, as Chad Hood says in his book that we're studying these next few weeks, when we come to Christ for salvation, we have the right to become children of God. That's what Jesus said in John 1:12. When we believe in Him, a wonderful thing happens. We're born again, and we become a child of God. Chad Hood put it this way on the screen for you. I'll quote him. He says, "We have to grow in our understanding of what salvation means and what that looks like in life." Are you growing? Are you growing? I'll use this as an illustration. Think about a child that is born into an aristocratic family. What a blessing to be born into a family of prestige and importance. And of course, that baby has no complete understanding of the blessings and benefits that now belong to him or her. They don't know about the rights or the privileges that are theirs as being a part of that family. They're just a baby. But as this child starts to grow, he starts to learn some things. He starts to learn how to eat solid food. He starts to learn how to use utensils. He starts to learn how to speak. And then more and more he starts to understand the privileges and the responsibilities that are his or hers. And he understands that his actions not only reflect on him as a person, but they reflect on the family that he has been born into. That is a perfect picture of what it means to be born again, to be born into the family of God. And the sad thing is, here at First Baptist Church, we've got lots of members, and we've got lots of them that are still babes in Christ. I mean, maybe you've accepted Christ. God bless you for connecting with Him in faith. But it's possible that we've got people that are in their 80s that have not grown one inch for the Lord. And all of that can change today. At the dawn of 2016, you can put one foot in front of another and start learning the basics of discipleship, the basics of Christianity. Chad Hood quotes this wonderful verse from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, for the screen, and you've turned to it in your Bible. He quotes the Apostle Paul when he says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Friend, if you're new to the faith, you're not going to know everything. You're just going to have a rudimentary understanding of what it means to be in the family of God. But as you grow, as you start to develop spiritual muscles, you should start maturing in the things of God. As a matter of fact, for the screen again, I'll quote Chad Hood in his book when he says, "The follower of Jesus Christ is to mature, deepen, and grow in wisdom and understanding." Let me just stop right there. Does that describe you? Are you maturing in your faith? Are you deepening in your understanding of God's Word and what it means to be a Christian? Are you growing in wisdom and understanding? I pray that if you are not, that you will join me, join many others of us beginning today who will begin this exciting journey of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the next slide I want to show you from Chad Hood, he talks about where this growth happens. It happens in the context of fellowship. That's what we have right here. We are a fellowship of believers. And when you're out here isolated by yourself, it's hard for you to grow. But when you're with a group, like a Sunday school class, and people are learning just like you in that fellowship, then it's exciting. And some real positive steps forward can happen. And to illustrate this, Hood quotes a wonderful verse in 1 John 1:3. It's there on the screen for you. "That which we have seen and heard." Now, who's talking here? It's John. John is being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this letter. And so he's saying, listen, the 3 years I was with Jesus, I heard a lot, I saw a lot, but I'm not keeping it to myself. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." I'm sharing it with you. That's what discipleship is. You've got a mentor who's been there, he's been one, and now he wants to make one. And look at the use of the word fellowship in the rest of this verse. Again, he says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." Isn't that wonderful? We'll have fellowship on a horizontal level. And maybe the reason you're missing out on some of the friendships and encouragement you need from having those kinds of relationships is because you're not connected in a Sunday school class or with a body of believers. And so we grow, and that affects our horizontal relationships, our fellowship with each other. But not only that fellowship, go on here, and it uses that word fellowship again. "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Watch this. When you become a child of God, you develop a vertical relationship with God. And what a wonderful fellowship, unhindered fellowship we share with Him. And a result of that, we've got a whole new family that we can have fellowship with. And we're all at different stages of growth. But God is blessing us as we mature, as we deepen and develop in our understanding of what salvation is and what it should look like in our daily lives. Again, this is the connect part of our purpose statement as a church. We come by faith to Christ, we connect with Him, we connect with His people, and then we grow. We grow in grace and knowledge. So after we've connected with God by faith in Jesus, we're now connected with God's people through Sunday school. And then we have the opportunity to go. That's the final word in our purpose statement. Come, connect, grow, go. And I want to give you this verse on the screen. It's the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It says, go. There's that word. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's the words of Christ to his church, saying, listen, you've got a job to do. Don't just sit there on your haunches. God can't steer a parked car. Get up and go. And as you are going, literally from the original language, it is the assumption that we're going to be going anyway. As you are going, as you're going to school, as you're going to work, as you're going about the neighborhood, as you're going about your daily duties at home, as you go and do these things, make disciples. And then the first order of business is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, I know there's people sitting in this building today who have accepted Christ. You have been made a disciple, but you've never followed Jesus in believer's baptism. And I can't think of a better day than on this 10th day of January, 2016, to get that right. Because that officially connects you with this body of believers. And more than that, it is a witness to a lost and dying world that Jesus was buried. That's what we say whenever we lower someone into the water. He was buried, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He rose again, and because of that and because of my faith in what he did on the cross and what happened in the tomb when he was resurrected, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm resurrected and raised to a new kind of life. This needs to happen to so many people that we talk to each and every week. And I pray that today is the day that you make that decision. Then the next step is to grow. That's the importance of Sunday school. Just coming here for worship is not enough. You need to get with other believers that are at the same stage of life and development as you and grow with them as they study God's Word and apply God's Word to their lives. That's why I'm so excited today. Right after this worship service, we're having a lunch meeting with our Sunday school leaders, and I'm just so excited to be a part of this pep rally as we just get excited about what's going to be happening around here in 2016. I mean, you just think about how God has blessed us. We ended the year strong financially, and on top of that, we ended strong with the harvest gifts. For the Vision 2020, we ended strong with our mission giving for Lottie Moon. You people have just been generous and generous and generous. And now it's a great opportunity for us to grow through our Sunday school. And one thing I'm going to be sharing with our Sunday school leaders today is that I think the next step for our church is to call on a staff member, to bring on a staff member who will be responsible in giving leadership to Sunday school and education in the life of this church. And this person will also have the responsibility of working with young adults and with their families. It's an area we desperately need here at First Baptist Church. And I'm so glad to report to you that our deacons have already approved this position. Our Sunday School Council recommended it to them, and our personnel committee has not only approved it, but they've written a job description. And so you need to start praying right now. And you're going to hear more about it at our next church conference, January 26th. So, boy, we're right on the threshold of God doing some wonderful things in the life of First Baptist Church. And we just want to be in the center of His will, growing not for our glory, but growing for His honor and glory. And you can get on the team today. You can be a part of that growth. You can be a part of that blessing today by being involved in the kind of discipleship that God has called us to. And so, As I come down to the time of decision, it's a real simple challenge that I'm making to you today. I'll just use our purpose statement. You have come today. God bless you for that. Thank you for coming and worshiping the Jesus that we love and that we know personally. Now it's time for you to make a decision about connecting. Connecting with God by faith through Jesus Christ. Some of you have never done that. And you have that opportunity right now. You can turn from sin and self and by faith turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, you will be connected eternally with Jesus. You will become a follower of Christ. You will become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't let the connection stop there. I mean, you've come today. Don't just connect with the Lord Jesus Christ, but connect with His people. And the way you do that is by becoming a part of this church and being baptized. But not just that, join a Sunday school class. And if you need to know where your Sunday school class is, just give us a call here at the church. Speak to me afterwards. Speak to any of our staff. We'll be happy to help you with that decision. But not just that, once you are connected, then we want you to grow. And that's why I'm doing this book study these first few weeks of this new year, so that you will grow and develop in the things of God, so that we can all be on mission and go across the street and around the world with His gospel message. I know God's speaking to hearts right now. He's speaking to people about decisions that they need to make, and I can't think of a better time to make that decision than right now on January 10th. 2016. So let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, I thank you so much for these dear people. I thank you that they have placed a priority and importance on being in church here at the beginning of a new year. And Father, I just pray that you will now bless them as you're speaking to some right now about connecting with our church by baptism. But more importantly, you're speaking to some about connecting to you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that they would respond to your grace and to your leading in their life. Father, I pray for the many believers here that this would be an outstanding year of growth in their personal lives and growth in our church, so that we might be effective in fulfilling your great commission to go. Father, you're calling some of us right now just to go to a lost classmate tomorrow and share the good news with them. You're commissioning some of us right now to go and to talk to a neighbor or to a coworker. And Father, may we be obedient in these matters, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.